going to call to order the November 5th, 2019 meeting of the South Kingstown Conservation Commission. First order of business is roll call. Lorraine Joubert.
Here.
Christopher O'Connor.
Here.
Vern Wyman.
Here.
Matt Bradywood.
Here.
Absent tonight is Mary Talbot Robbiano and Ann Heffern. I am David Flanders, and we're also joined by Ray Parker, our staff person, senior planner.
Jay Parker.
Jay, sorry.
I do like Ray. Ray's got a ring to it.
Nice. You're alias.
Raymond.
Our next order of business is approval of minutes from the last meeting on October 1st. Anybody have any comments, additions, changes? If not, I will accept a motion to accept.
I'll move to accept.
Do we hear a second?
I will second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, minutes are accepted. Second order of business is correspondence and comments. This is correspondence that I received that Jay is going to talk more about because he was at the town council meeting, and it just mentioned that our application for the amending the town tree ordinance was discussed and referred to the town manager, and that our proposed amendment of the plastic reduction ordinance for single-use straws was decided not to take action on the commission's suggestion at this time. And as I said, Jay will elaborate on that when we get down to it. New business, I would like to officially welcome Matt Bradywood. And also maybe if you'll take a minute and a half or so to introduce yourself, let us know what you do, and what attracted you to the Conservation Commission.
So that's my name, and
I'm sticking to it.
Yeah, I grew up in South Kingstown. I went to URI. I have a degree in biology and art, and a minor in philosophy. I have done various things that were sort of environmental related. I worked for a lobster restoration project in Narragansett Bay. There was a big oil spill in '98, and I worked for a company that was spearheading the shellfish restoration portion of that. I taught at W.L. Jones for a year as a field teacher, naturalist, sort of a nature's classroom, I think, groups of kids coming. I recently bought a property in Kingston and had to jump through a lot of hoops that I was mentioning.
The one that we saw.
Yeah.
That we forced. Yeah. We were the hoops.
you were one of
many hoops.
18 hoops. Yeah. That journey led me here. Just over the past year, I've learned a lot about town politics. I worked with the planning board to change an ordinance.
Which one?
To allow two permits to be requested on the same lot. So one of the hoops was...
Special use permit and a dimensional variance in conjunction with a OWTS.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they changed that rule?
Only for OWTS.
What do you mean, only for OWTS?
Meaning that if the special use permit is required because of the septic system, then you can have a variance with it. But if you have a variance and a special use permit that's not related to a septic system, so say a drive-through...
Like a setback distance or something.
Right. So if you have, like, let's say a drive-through requests a special use permit or some other specially permitted use requires a special use permit, and you're making an improvement to the lot that requires a side yard setback variance or a rear, you can't get both. In the case of a homeowner who requires a special use permit for their septic system,
then they can still get something else. Oh, that's a big change.
They can get the setback variance.
Oh, I'm impressed.
Good one.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which means that's good for us because now we can request they get an exception from a setback, a front or side yard setback, in order to increase the distance from a septic system.
And Lorraine, she's always thinking.
Yeah, generally.
Sometimes it makes a difference.
Yeah, sometimes. Most of the time, though, the way the septics are configured, it would push it more towards the center and not the sides.
Mm.
And yeah, I mean, theoretically, it could. How prevalent it would be, I'm not really sure.
Right.
It was mostly just removing a vestigial. There was a statewide law that said that you couldn't request a special use use and a dimensional variance on the
same
lot.
That was a statewide law?
Yeah, it still is.
It's an allowance in the law. That there's a provision in there that allows municipalities to restrict having the two if they so choose.
That's the other way around.
That's the other way around, right. Because the language says towns can't allow it if it meets certain requirements. If you can't have the special use permit in conjunction with the dimensional variance. Some ambiguous language that really...
Mm. So the town doesn't have language in their ordinance that says that you can request both, then you cannot.
Oh, okay.
So Narragansett, North Kingstown, they had adopted this similar ordinance a while ago. But SK had done it. So all those things just sort of got me interested in town politics and didn't match with environmental stuff. And here I am.
That's good.
Well, welcome.
Did you finish the house?
No, it's...
Have you started the house?
Yeah, I haven't started it. I've finished all the...
paperwork.
Yeah. And there were many. I should be starting, should be breaking ground in the spring.
Oh, good.
Sort of very quickly.
Good.
Excellent.
Well, welcome to the board.
Thank you.
Glad to have you.
And you're, I met...
Oh, sorry, Lorraine Joubert.
Yeah, and Vern Wyman. I was formerly at University of Rhode Island in a role of overseeing the operation of all of the campuses and the planning and execution of all of our construction, maintenance,
gotcha.
Public safety, a few other things along the way. Real estate was another area I was responsible for. And actually, I have a background in biology and experience in natural resource sciences as well as community planning. So, so that brought me here. A whole mix of the community I planned for 40 years was the University of Rhode Island, so where I had attended.
Mm. And Chris, who are you?
Just a lawyer. Don't hold that against me.
I've considered going down that path before.
Don't do it.
Well, I like elements of it.
Our next... item is listed as election of officers, but in fact it's just election of our new secretary as that position became open. Just to remind everybody that there's no real secretarial duties associated with it. Primarily it's the little recorder, it's Jay and Lynn in the planning department who do the thing. But basically it's just for a succession of officers. If the chair and the vice chair can't make it, then the secretary runs the meeting. And runs the meeting is just running the agenda and stuff like that. So it's not a big deal, but it is a position that has to be fielded. Does anyone want to step up? It's a nominative position, I'll repeat.
I'm happy to do it, although at least for the first couple meetings, I'd like to sit back and just kind of see how things run.
Sure.
Should the chair and the vice chair suddenly not show up?
Yeah, right.
I need a little help.
Jay, do we need to fill it tonight, the position tonight?
I don't think it's imperative.
I agree. Okay, let's table it till next month and think it over again. Discussion of invasive species list for possible consideration by the planning department, planning board, and or TRC in review of developmental applications. This was something I brought to the table because somebody had mentioned to me that they were upset about the fact that a couple of burning bush plants were planted in front of the Hale Library. And she said, I don't think the town should be planting invasive species on town land. And I agree, and I also think that it was probably planted by a friend of the library, or a gardening group, garden club, something like that. I don't think it was in the town initiative, but it did get me to thinking that there should be a list of species that can be handed to, well, certainly to our Department of Public Services and the Park Department, as well as that we should have a copy of a list, which is going to get updated, I think, all the time. A copy of that list, the TRC should have a copy, the planning board and the planning department. So I'm not so And thank you for the addition of the others. And I had two other links as well, one to the Burning Bush and the other to Callery and Bradford pears. Mm-hmm. And I can pass those on. So I'm not really, I don't know that we have to get really into the teeth of what are the ones we want to avoid, but I just wanted to pursue how we would go about it. And I thought the simplest way, which would still require some bureaucracy, would be to have somewhere, maybe in the subdivision regulation, something about we're not going to plant invasive species in town, whether it's the town itself or developmental groups. And then they would say, well, which ones are they? And we could tell. But if we all had that handy as a list, when a project did come up for review and they have the landscaping specs, we could just run down that checklist and say, oh, by the way, this one, you can't do that. But I thought the simplest way would just keep it a couple of sentences. You know, we don't want to have, we will not allow any planting of invasive species in town. So, Jay, how would be the mechanism for doing that? Would that have to be amending the subdivision regulations?
I mean, if you weren't part of the subdivision regulations, yes.
I'm actually surprised it's not there already.
Well, it might be. I honestly didn't get a chance to vet it. But the easiest way, the cleanest way, is probably referencing a state list.
This is the most recent one.
Well, URI list is a state list.
This is the most recent one.
But a list that we can reference, right, and not
as it changes.
Maintain.
Okay. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Because are you, you know, and hopefully it's a relatively
updated list. Yeah.
Up-to-date list. But that would eliminate. We do not want to be putting a list in the subdivision.
No, I agree. I agree.
Right. I agree.
Right. That was not my intention. I agree.
So I thought the subdivision regs would already specify native plants, like native low-maintenance plants.
It very well might, but it might not explicitly.
Yeah, so it might not also.
Elaborate on that.
Yeah. So I work at URI in Cooperative Extension, and we wanted to come up with a weed guide for taking care of stormwater BMPs. Because with the vegetated systems, one of the big problems is weeds go in and then the staff can't tell what's a weed versus a planted plant. And so we worked with the Natural History Survey who researches invasive plants, and they have a huge list. And so we worked with several other state experts on this topic, and we came up with a pretty short list of just the absolute worst ones. So it's on one page. So it includes everything in the list that you have and several more. And so these are the ones that are more likely to take over disturbed ground. So it's not just stormwater BMPs every time you have, or they take over forests. You know, bittersweet takes over forests like crazy. But usually it's when there's some type of a disturbance. And some of these, once you plant them, it's almost impossible to get them out. And some come in just by weeds.
It's really hard.
Yeah, not weed. So I feel like this is the most current list, and we worked hard to get input from the current experts. And the state is using this, you know, when, you know, they're advocating to use these things so that people who maintain stormwater systems are aware. And it comes in paper format, like this PDF, and also a mobile version for, like, phone. So when you go to this, when you go to the website is listed in the middle, web.uri.edu, blah, blah, blah.
Did you send the one you sent us?
Did I send it to you?
You sent a couple.
I sent it to you and Jay.
Okay.
But I can send it to the whole group. This is the URL if anyone's interested for the mobile version. But if you just go look up In the Weeds, A Guide to Maintaining Stormwater Treatment Systems, you'll find it. URI, In the Weeds, A Guide to Maintaining Vegetation and Stormwater Treatment Systems.
Weed has done to me, yeah.
Yeah. And then if you go inside, there's a... Actually, the website clearly has the website for the mobile version versus the PDF. And it also has it inside the PDF. So the website has the links to each one.
I just searched the subdivision regulations. I did not get one hit for the term invasive.
Yeah. Hmm. Well, it's probably a good idea to have something in it then.
we, the town, I mean, I know you said you thought it was just a friend of the library or something that planted those in front of.
Yeah, who would it be?
But who
I don't know, because I think every library has their own group of friends. I think the Kingston Library probably has a different group of volunteers.
I mean, if it was someone from the town, who was that individual essentially accusing within the town of having planted?
I don't know if that would fall under Parks and Recreation or Department of Public Services. I don't know.
They both plant things.
Yeah, I don't know if Parks and Rec is restricted strictly to parks because they've done other things as well along nature trails throughout in the town, like the Tri-Pond area and Old Mountain Field. But
the person who heads that up is a landscaper. Isn't he a landscape architect?
Who? In what
Parks
department?
And Rec?
I don't think so. Oh, the head of the whole thing is a she. I forget her name. And I don't know if she is or not. But I think Rex Everly is just parks maintenance. I don't think he is. But he may have done that. I mean, he's worked with us. We've planted trees in various parks.
Mm-hmm. So you're contemplating restricting these types of invasive plantings from being on town property, planted on town property?
Well, that and also for private development.
New subdivisions.
The subdivision regulations would apply to the private, so.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, would that necessarily apply to residential developments as well?
Yeah.
Subdivisions.
Well, subdivisions, yes.
Okay,
right.
Individual construction on private property. No. Okay.
Just where they have to get planning board review.
Right.
But once an individual homeowner owns that house, then
they can do anything.
Yeah, they can
cut down all their trees.
There's a limitation as to how much, staff levels and how much we can tell people that they can and can't do with their property. Mm.
Mm. Sure.
It always rears its ugly head every once in a while where somebody wants some type of action taken or restriction placed on somebody else or whatever, and it's like, we can only go so far.
I joined this commission with the goal of ruling with an iron fist.
I like it.
All right.
You came to the right point.
Setting the bar.
So if we were talking about town planting on town land, would we make a recommendation to the town council?
Yeah.
Because for subdivisions, we would make a recommendation to the planning board.
Correct. Planning board would have to incorporate it into the subdivision regulations through a public hearing amendment, which is not incredibly difficult because we do have some amendments waiting in the wings, some cleanup waiting in the wings, but some large ticket stuff that we're still trying to sort out to do that. So we could table it and have it a placeholder in there to see what it does. As far as planting on town property, that would probably need to go to the council to be passed down to DPS and Parks and Rec.
Yep.
It may require that they develop a policy that the tree warden or the town arborist review any proposed plantings, review or acknowledge the proposed plantings.
Or maybe the CONCOM?
We don't want to get involved in all the day-to-day stuff.
I would agree with that. I would say we have administration for that.
Okay.
Routine things. If it's part of a larger scale plan, perhaps, where you play another role, but just to confirm whether or not something is invasive or not, or comment on landscaping design.
Yeah.
Don't they have standard operating procedures? Like the different departments?
Best practices.
Yeah.
I'm not going to speak for them. I don't know.
No.
I don't know how they go about their planning.
Right. Because some towns have a policy to use only, non-chemical lawn controls on town property, things like that. Mm-hmm. If they don't even have that, then it seems worthwhile to kind of help them, as if they want our help, come up with a policy for using only natives, not invasives, and minimizing fertilizers and other chemical products on lawns.
I know that Parks does not use any fertilizers or pesticides on their lawns.
No? Nope. Really?
Yep. It's dandelions just grow wild on the soccer fields.
Yeah, look at them. Mm-hmm. Put it on cut down.
Well, maybe they need to aerate it. You know, maybe they need to do other things other than just not apply chemicals.
So, Lorraine, you mentioned that this is particularly problematic with the bioswales and the vegetation
right.
of bioswales. So, I mean, since those are now more and more being either required or encouraged
right.
in virtually all developments
right.
from the developer perspective, so that would apply to residential when they're laying out the property that
right.
is to be developed later. So there is a preamble to this and as to why now that being such a common feature. And frankly, I mean, I reflect on the university because we've used bioswales now considerably around
mm-hmm.
the campus, and they have helped the maintenance. They reduce the maintenance, the
mm-hmm.
mowing, a lot of other things that have similar environmental impacts. So
so it's been good.
Yeah, so it's been good. And I think that may be a, you know, sort of a preamble to suggesting this because it is something that we
right.
all should be universally
yeah.
respecting at this point because it's the best way to manage stormwater.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I have noticed that at URI they put up little signs explaining that this
yes.
is a native garden, you
yes.
know, for pollinators and stormwater management, which is great because there have been cases where there was a stormwater system with native plants, but it got invaded. And the neighbors complained to the town.
Yeah.
So the town came
they
in and cut everything down,
yeah.
including
yeah.
trees.
Yeah. Yes, our first experience with that actually was the Boss Arena. And that was...
Was there a BNP there?
There was. It was, and it was along the
along
front of the building.
One.
And so the donor who was named, the building was named for, was raging that the weeds
oh, really?
Were going wild
oh, my
in
goodness.
Front of his new building. So so I think we conceded on the first, you know, the
yeah.
first battle went down, I
right.
think, in favor of the donor. But we have included that ever since. And,
that's funny.
Yeah. So there are bases for exception early in such
right.
a effort. So.
Right. Well, if the town wants signs, there are some available through DOT that are nicer, that nice signs that have like a bumblebee, and it talks about how this area is for native
yeah.
pollinators and stormwater.
So can we draft something for the council? By that, I mean, can you?
I was going to say, we put off the secretary to next month. Almost had you, Matt. Engaged first.
But this would be to the planning board if it deals with subdivision rights.
That would, but I was talking about town land.
Oh,
I was doing
okay.
two separate things.
Yeah. Right, there's two things going here.
If you guys would like to articulate some language.
Okay.
To be included in the correspondence.
Sure.
I'm happy to draft that for the next meeting.
Sure.
Hey.
Okay. All right. And if you want to chew it over by emails, you know, let me know or anybody else.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's. Yeah, I'm happy to do it. I think it's pretty straightforward.
I think. Yeah. Brevity would be, you know, great.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it'd be to the town council, the town conservation commission recommends that.
If you just send me the language, the substance of it,
yeah.
I'll just take one of the last memos that we sent up and put it in there with the letter. Actually, I can just send that to you, and then you can see how it reads and to keep it consistent.
Okay, why don't you do that?
Just so that it stays consistent, like, you know, the deliverables that come out of the committee routinely look.
Oh, right, good.
Do we want it to say specifically that we're citing that list or DGM's list? Or
no, just that.
Just that whatever
that,
list is being.
That the planning department, the planning department will have the list for reference.
Okay.
We have to identify the list.
Yeah, as to where it comes from, what it is, right.
And as amended in the future.
Right.
Yeah.
So I think we should reference this one.
I agree.
Does DEM have
it? That one is outdated.
Okay.
Is that one going to be updated?
Well, that hasn't been updated in 20 years.
Well, forget this one. I just,
I'm not committing to updating it. I'm not committing to updating it. We just did it. So it's going to be good for another 10 or 20 years.
Is that a list that will exist for 10 or 20 years?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's on our website.
Is it specific to just BMPs, though?
No, it isn't.
I mean, is there any reason why...
It's not specific to BMPs.
If somebody says, why didn't you use the URI master list? We would say because it hasn't
there been. Isn't any other master list. The closest to a master list is the Natural History Survey keeps a list, but includes everything. And then they have various lists that overlap. It's very confusing. That was our goal initially, just to use theirs, but we couldn't come up with one thing. And when you look at all of it, it's just not practical. So these are the worst ones, and there are enough of them.
Approximately how many?
About 36, 30. They're not little garden weeds, They're the kind of plants that will take over.
Sure.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't
know.
About
how many is not?
I think I counted it out in the email. Like 14 are on there, maybe?
Oh, at least. Maybe 20.
So there's just like 10 more here.
Okay.
I thought DEER had a more exhaustive list.
They used to have a deer-resistant list and non-deer-resistant list.
Because I was certified like in 2009 or 8. I thought in the handbook, in the book, the manual that we had, that it had a fully vetted list.
What handbook was that?
Invasives, certified invasives manager.
Oh. We checked with the few people that run that class, and they directed us to the Natural History Survey.
What's her name?
Kate Venturini.
Kate.
We checked with her.
Checked with her?
Yeah.
Do they still offer that class?
Yeah. But that's a lot of coastal invasives also. I don't think they have invasives that they deal with other than those that are on here. Or did we do Phragmites? We didn't do coastal waters. So Phragmites is not on here. But that's, no one plants that anymore.
I was going to say nobody actually plants it.
Right. Japanese knotweed, no one plants, but that's on here. Because people don't really work in natural wetlands. That's why Phragmites isn't here. If you want to email Kate and ask her,
you sound heavily involved in.
We spent a long time working on this, and I think she might even be one of the reviewers. Yeah, she's one of the reviewers. Wendley Ferguson, Megan Gardner, Providence Parks, Sue Gordon, Meg Kerr, Brian Kucher, Horsey Witten, Hope Leeson. Hope also teaches one of those classes with Kate.
She's great. So you got the name of the list that we're talking about? Okay.
Yeah,
Jay, do you want this document? It's free to anyone.
This is the phone link.
The mobile version.
Yeah.
I just Googled URL and the weed and pop up in the first place.
Okay.
Yeah.
Does DEM have a list of invasives? It must.
Not that we could find.
Right.
If they did, it was very old.
I know they have a list of approved plantings.
Right. There's there's a Rhodi native plants where they're labeled under that term, and those are those are marketed as Rhode Island natives.
Gotcha. You don't need this?
I was going to give it away to anyone who wanted it.
Would you like to look at it?
No, that's fine.
Excellent.
Great.
So we'll see something next month. A draft. And how do we get, as he called it, a placeholder in the changes, the cleaning house?
I'll have to talk to Kayla about it, because okay. I'm not sure. We kind of, it's waiting in the wings, and we're waiting on a few big ticket items, housing and stormwater, and we haven't had the momentum enough to tackle that. We're going to need some assistance. It can't just be our. So we need to match up with DPS, and we need to match up with particularly the planning board and the housing study that we've been undertaking.
Are you talking about changes to the subdivision regs dealing with those topics? Stormwater and housing?
Yes.
Yeah. So shouldn't we be reviewing the stormwater one?
For major projects, you see applications that come up as major.
No, but if they're talking about making changes to the subdivision regs dealing with stormwater.
Yes, but we haven't gotten there yet. So what we're trying to do as staff is make sure that DPS sets the standard for what they do, what they want to see, how it's going to be required, how that matches up with DEM's requirements, put it together, and then, yes, once they're written and done, I'm sure they'll share it with you, or the planning board can recommend that it goes to you guys to be reviewed.
Can we see it before it's adopted, though? When it's still a draft?
Yeah, I'm not sure how that plays out.
Okay.
Right, because the planning board maintains the authority of the subdivision regs itself.
Right, I know.
So, yeah, we'll look into that. We have a placeholder on a recent placeholder that we've put on planning board agendas that reads, give me a second. But it's a placeholder that's going to be on every agenda to recognize standards or requirements that the board may encounter that may not function appropriately. So where someone comes in with a parking plan that technically meets the standards of the ordinance, however, doesn't really make a whole lot of sense because it's so specific or there's some little nuance to the plan, they would be real flat to say, hey, we got to take a look at this parking standard. Or we need to take a look at this setback requirement or something. And it allows us to try to keep those items in the queue to look at so we don't forget about them. Because they happen at times, sometimes more frequently than others. But where the intent of the ordinance just doesn't work and we have a chance to address it. So that can be one that gets added to the list from you guys. That's topic for consideration. That, right now, at this point, is probably the best I can do. It's not like we maintain the list and publish the list. It's a line item on the agenda that comes up at planning board meetings now. That's going to carry on every planning board meeting to allow that recognition to happen. Say, hey, I have a problem with the sign ordinance, or I have a problem with this as we just experienced when we reviewed an application, or something like that. But yeah, the revision to the subdivision regs is nowhere near complete. And I don't know if the planning board is going to want you guys to see it before they see it. So I don't know what the exchange would be. You know, I don't know if it would go to planning first and then planning vets it with staff and says, okay, and then gives it to you guys and says, okay, this is what we think works. I don't see you guys seeing it before they
see it. No, I'm not suggesting that. I'm just saying before they approve it.
I get it. I just don't know what that process is going to look like. That's my point.
Yeah. Plus, this sounds a little more focused than just a general revision. This sounds right. focused on problem areas.
The standing agenda item is.
Yeah.
But that's why I was saying, how can you get it? The question was, how can we get it known or mm-hmm. put it out there? We can put it in that list.
Mm.
And then when it comes time to for considerations yeah. and stuff, and all the subdivision regs, we can do it then. There's a lot of... if you really went through the subdivision regulations, there's a lot of certain parts of the ordinance of the regs don't play nice with others.
Mm-hmm.
In one instance, we have a density requirement for multi-household development of X number. And if you were the zoning ordinance, it's Y.
Mm-hmm.
We have to go to legal counsel and say, you get an apple and an orange, which one carries? Well, mm-hmm. if planning conflicts with zoning, zoning is always going to carry, so you have to right. use a zoning rule. But that doesn't do us any
right.
justice. You know, mm-hmm. difficult. So there's a lot of stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I digressed, my apologies.
Oh, it's interesting. Any more thoughts on that before we move on? Old business, review and discussion of the town's open space acquisition policy.
So I went back to this. And I realized that I was kind of looking at my own opinions on these areas. And when it comes to things like surface water protection, it's really hard to prioritize certain areas.
Well, I agree, and that was part of my problem in reviewing it, was that we,
right.
I think we got stuck in the mindset.
Right.
For instance, I had as top priority four areas that are of equal but different concerns. Wetlands and areas abutting salt and fresh water,
mm-hmm.
Groundwater resources protection, unfragmented forest and
right.
habitat, and
right.
watersheds. I view those as equally important and top priority.
Right. So and, those are the categories.
Well, and then I had a second tier that would be maybe first scenic value, second size of the parcel, third historic value, and fourth farmland preservation.
What do you think about combining scenic, historic,
yeah, I know we
scenic,
talked,
historic,
yeah.
and farmland? Because they're all so they all kind of merge together in my mind.
Yeah.
Are they really different? I mean, I know scenic is different, could be different than just than historic, but
no, they're equally important.
Do we want to? So can we lump them all together?
Let's do that, and let's have the size of the parcel be a second.
Size of the parcel helps with everything. Size of the parcel improves groundwater protection, surface water,
mm-hmm.
forest, habitat. So I think size of the parcel should be a separate one.
That's what I meant.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Or a weighting factor.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So that sort of simplifies
okay.
that list, but I still don't know how to create a system for, be it a point system or whatever, to,
right.
Those mechanics I haven't.
Yeah. All right. I've got some notes on that.
Okay.
So if we agree we can combine scenic, historic,
and farmland, mm-hmm.
active farmland, then does everyone agree with that, or do you want them separate? Because you could have...
It would be simpler.
It would be simpler.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. Combining it.
Yeah.
Except, do you know what we're talking about?
That would be an and or, correct?
Yeah, yeah.
Right, and or, exactly. Yeah. I wrote it that way.
By okay. the way, this is a continuation. We started probably talking about this in yeah. July.
It's my August. Fault that I haven't done it.
So. Yeah, I spoke briefly with Jay.
Yeah. So can we also include as a secondary, if those are the most important ones, the next level down might be urban parks for recreation and green infrastructure?
Yeah, that'd be near the bottom.
Yeah, okay. And then factoring in maintenance, ability of the town to maintain it
Good
would
point.
Be another extra one down the list.
Yeah. Or, okay. you know, a lot of those micro parks, micro things are, you know, you see these signs. There's a, you know, the
Friends
rotary.
Of the library can manage that.
Yeah. yeah. But, I mean, yeah, we could throw it to the Parks Department, for instance, for if they want to look for someone, you know, volunteer or
right.
to do that, that to take
yeah.
less work, you know, more work off of them,
okay.
and that would be.
Or does that become an item that, that lends more points to something that doesn't, you know, just preserving, setting aside land that's just a wetland that won't be, that doesn't need to be mowed?
Yeah, I don't see it as a high priority at any rate, and I, as to who would, you know.
I would be cautious. I would be cautious of that ability of the town to maintain it.
I agree. Oh, I agree.
I mean, you're making a... You're making a value assumption on something not related to the actual thing you're considering.
Mm-hmm.
Your ability to maintain it. I mean, if...
No, was, I agree. I agree. I don't think that should be our concern.
I just think, like, if there was an otherwise... a valuable piece of property, and somebody would interpret that as saying, well, we can't fix our own potholes now, why should we be, you know, be responsible for another piece of property?
Oh, I agree. They, I agree.
But if the town can't, if the town doesn't have the staff to maintain it, they shouldn't be acquiring
again,
more.
I think we're digressing from the point of this exercise. The point of the exercise was to preserve natural resources values, properties that hold natural resources mm-hmm. and their values.
Right.
Not the ability, not how it ties into anything else. We're looking strictly at what the comprehensive plan lays out for valuing the natural resources and what we want to protect and preserve.
That's fine. So if a town bought some property and didn't provide access to it and it stayed there in the woods, then that would still be continuing to provide value.
It's preserved.
It's
that
preserved.
Resource is still there. In,
on property deeds, it's preserved, but there still may be in people infringing on that property. The neighbors may be infringing.
Yeah, but, I mean, alternatively, you don't buy the property because you can't maintain it, and then a developer buys it and puts up a 25-lot subdivision and eliminates all of the specimen trees and everything that mm-hmm. provided the value for that property.
Right. Well, I guess there has to be a middle ground. If the town is going to own it, they need... occasionally need to check and see that people aren't cutting trees down and infringing on it.
I think, the middle ground is finding the balance of either we take the initiative to preserve a resource with what we have, or we say, no, we can't because we can't take it anymore, and then we lose the ability of doing that. I think it's more of an administrative issue than it is to the actual objective, right?
Right, it's more of the process of preserving it after the fact.
Right, if the town is not executing in certain ways, then that's an administrative issue. It should be resolved. The policies should be well-rounded, and that's kind of what we're trying to get with the language of the comp plan.
Right.
And recognizing the acquisition policy
right.
to reflect those values that are recognized in the plan.
Right. So one way I think we can address that is by making a comment that in some cases the town should consider assisting the land trust in acquiring property as they've done in the recent
past. That's how it is.
Because they have staff that actually monitor properties and maintain the properties when people cut things down. And they have volunteers that walk the boundaries every year to make sure there's no infringement. So if it's a public park that the town is acquiring, they may be up to speed on taking care of that. But if it's in the middle of nowhere forest, they might want to consider helping the land trust buy it rather than they maintaining ownership themselves.
Well, as I understand it, most of these are brought forward by the land trust.
Well, with the one exception is the property near URI that is actually owned by the town. You know, the one
where?
That...
Noise?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, Noise Farm. Yeah.
The town owns that one.
Right.
And it abuts even, or it's very close to a land trust property. They could turn it over to the land trust and then not worry about how to maintain it.
Where is this?
Noise Farm is off between 138 and, Kingston Hill Academy?
Yeah.
And it's a large tract, like 200 and some acres. It's
right.
And it's beautiful. I mean, there's old paths that go through it. There's one cellar hole. There's one ledge looking over a small, like, pond or something like that. That's very, and it's open to the public. There's no place to park currently. So the town is going to be putting in a 6 or 8 car lot, parking lot on 138. And they're also talking with Kingston Hill Academy, who was interested in being able to use that property for educational purposes, to allow the people from the town to park there. So it's a, that's still in negotiation and stuff, but they're interested in it, and it's a beautiful piece of property.
Yeah, sounds.
Yeah,
sounds,
and extends from the school, that Kingston Hill Academy, all the way to 138.
Yeah, so all along, is it North Road?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't buffer North Road. It's a little further down.
The border is behind the properties that are above North Road.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because those were going to be developed, or someone was trying to develop.
Oh, the ones on North Road are being developed.
They are.
Yeah.
The Precern project.
It's terrible.
Well, yeah, there's still Old North Road.
Yeah.
Right.
Old
North Road. Right.
Okay.
I forget the name of the development, but. Yeah, how it passed the traffic study, I have no idea. When URI is going to school.
You mean the property down past Compass School?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, right.
There's one portion of the subdivision front goes off on its own with just a few houses just after the Compass School.
Okay.
And then the main portion of it is further down up to the corner.
Right. They were in front of us.
Yes.
Yeah,
right,
yeah,
that's
right.
Yeah,
quite a
while ago.
So how many units in all? Sorry, this is a real digression.
No,
how
I
many?
Don't know.
Units?
I forget.
It is a lot.
How many lots will it be?
For what?
The development on the corner of Stony Fort and Old North Road, the wet one.
East of Old North Road, yeah.
Fieldstone,
right, yep.
It's about 40, I think, and of course it's full of...
37 units.
Some of them are in-law apartments for affordable housing.
Actually, the town doesn't want to allow the in-law apartments.
Yeah. Mm. Our stance is that the in-law apartments are not, don't meet the definition of affordable.
Right.
As prescribed in a comp permit.
Okay.
They need to be integrated and similar.
So
you
the other...
be able to tell the difference between them inside or out.
Right, okay.
I rephrase that. We take back inside, we don't really care.
Right.
They need to be integrated fairly throughout.
Right.
Plus, it's a septic system issue, too, because if they have two units...
They originally proposed multiple houses off one, I mean, it was a terrible plan at the beginning.
They still do it.
Really?
I think that's what they put. A community
really? I thought the town didn't want that.
DEM approved it. That's how I understood it. The town was saying, no, you need individual WTS, because that would have helped in being a limiting factor.
Mm-hmm.
And then while they were having that discussion, they were already had a plan submitted to DEM, which they had approved for community septic, and it was like,
Well, that's what they did across the street anyway.
So we have some priorities, and I'm at this, how do you, if a property comes up, I would like to see if we could come up with some means of applying these priorities to somehow quantitatively decide, mm-hmm. is this worth
right.
the town's purchasing it? And so that's where I'm stuck.
Like a tiered system, at least
for there were some points, like 0, 1, 2, 3 for different categories.
Right.
So I kept that format.
Okay.
So let me revise this, and I'll send it out in advance next time, and then I'm done with it. Dennis, if there's any other changes, I'm going to hand it over to you, Jay.
I think you guys collectively need to. I feel like I have the same discussion. I say the same stuff over and over, but if your view is that it should include more than just the natural resource components, that the value is made up of secondary things, then that's your recommendation. You can send that to the planning board.
In the event that mm-hmm. land came up for purchase.
What did?
In the event that this was happening.
Right, oh yeah, yeah.
Would it be us that would be
No.
Citing the document we're creating?
No, this is a policy document that's used by the town in general.
Okay.
And would be approved by the council, actually.
Yeah. So then, you know, it behooves us to make it as tight as possible.
Right. Or at least it's clear to
opinions.
There is a document, right? We're looking to update
right.
it.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So something has existed.
Okay. Hey, Mom, Matt, I'm going to send you an email with it right now because I don't know. I don't think you've seen it.
Yeah. Thanks.
For instance, one category that was proposed for elimination that I think we've gone along with now is that if this land were to be developed, what is the current zoning allow for the number of houses? And so we've been directed more to saying, well, no, we don't want you to be focusing on that, rather just on the natural resources components of that piece. That was just one example of maybe a couple, I can't remember.
I'm much more excited at the prospect of the town purchasing land for hunting, fishing, hiking, than for developing something.
Oh, Oh, definitely.
Definitely place value on
that. Well, in fact, in the process, I was on that committee that reviewed the noise farm land, and the consultants came in, and they were sort of turning it into a park, and very, very wide paths, and this, and here's a sign for this, and here's a sign for that. And we said, no. This is too much. It's not a park. It's a woodland, and it should be kept as a woodland that's accessible by paths, but that's much more informal. They want to make it a much more formal type of, land piece, so.
No, I think some of the best stuff, some of the best parcels of land are the ones that Land Trust maintains.
Mm-hmm.
Or there's a nature conservancy one, Crawford Preserve out in Richmond.
Not Crawford, Crawley.
Crawley is by Peter Potts.
Right, that's still South Kingstown. You're right. I think
there's another one off of 110. I guess it's not in South Kingstown. Just as an example of of a big chunk of land that just has hiking trails. I like the idea of creating more of those.
Yeah, definitely. So, where are we?
Item B is advisory opinion procedures on.
No, I know that. I mean, where are we? Are we ready to leave?
I think
acquisition
so.
At this point.
Yeah.
Okay.
Give me 1 second.
Yep.
Go ahead. I'll try to catch up in a minute. I'm trying to find that.
Advisory opinion procedures in context of zoning applications.
So I was supposed to do that too, but I want to finish this open space thing, then I'll tackle.
I just thought. That's what I was asking.
Yeah. So I haven't done it because I want to finish this.
I spent time
on the open space thing. I want to finish that.
Okay. Yeah, good. Okay, sure. All right. So
where do we leave off on the acquisition policy?
I'm going to, based on the discussion tonight, I'm going to take one more attempt to finish it and then submit it to, for discussion for the next meeting. Hopefully in advance I can get it to you.
Okay.
If you could get it to us too.
Right, it would go out in the packet.
Oh, okay.
I'll distribute it to you.
Okay.
Yeah, well, I will.
Yeah, good.
Keep that.
Okay, let's do that. All right, so we're going to table till next month, or maybe the month after, the advisory opinion procedures in context of zoning applications.
Okay.
And Matt, that was, if you want to.
What?
I'm just going to fill Matt in on what that actually was.
Sure, go ahead.
If you recall, there was that 7 or 8 page form that you filled out when you came to CONCOM, your application.
Right. That was you were the first draft. I mean, you were the first one. It was like a test case, and you were the test.
That's right.
So we were just evaluating that.
Right.
This form, does it work? Do we need to tweak it here or there?
Yeah. So that was basically a reiteration of the requirements of the zoning ordinance. which the Conservation Commission is charged with reviewing the application for consistency with that section of the ordinance, basically all the questions that you answered. And then the commission then in turn forwards a recommendation to the planning board based on that assessment.
Zoning board.
Zoning board. You're correct. Sorry. So in kind of going back and looking at it, you know, Conservation Commission has a defined lane, has a defined role as to what they're looking at, which is the ordinance, and what the ordinance speaks to. And the zoning board does too, so we tried to make sure that what we did was we were in our, but the commission was in their lane, and then it gave something of value to the zoning board in making their decision. We think the form itself serves that purpose, and the advisory recommendation based on that serves the purpose. But Lorraine had suggested that we include some additional
best practices.
Yeah, some additional documentation with those submittals as an FYI for best management practices to advise applicants. So, oh, by the way, you could utilize whatever it might be.
I think, I mean, probably just linking kind of similarly to what we were doing with the invasive species, like linking mm-hmm. them to DEM's mm-hmm. list. I mean, I know mm-hmm. in relation to mine, I had to meet all kinds of DEM requirements for like planting along the limit of disturbance mm-hmm. and stuff like that that I would think someone would be aware of if they were at the stage of applying or mm-hmm. you know, coming through the CACA. Mm-hmm. But maybe wouldn't have.
That's a good point. It could serve as an FYI for additional steps that are somewhat related to, like for instance, the planting along the limit of disturbance.
Right.
We may not, the town collectively may not have requirements for that.
So we could expand that to include things DEM typically requires.
Mm-hmm.
Good. Anything related, natural resource related, I mean, in regard to development. I don't know how exhaustive that list would be, but.
Yeah. That's a good idea.
It's always good to say it earlier on so that you know,
right. And we could specifically tie it to the DEM standards, that DEM has a BMP manual that includes those.
I think
things.
Honestly, it should be as simple as FYI, you may be required by DEM to do a specific planting along the limit of disturbance. You may be required to blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Something that we don't maintain authority where we require.
I mean, like the person is whoever's applying for that has probably had to deal with DEM already. But the reason they haven't come to the CONCOM is because we have stricter standards than DEM does.
Right.
At least that's how how it was in my case.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the 150 foot versus DEM's 50 foot.
Okay, sounds good.
Update on plastic reduction ordinance related to plastic straws. Jay, wanna?
Yep. So the memo, your recommendation was forwarded to the town council last meeting
before October.
There was positive discussion. I mean, it wasn't ill received. I think what happened was I don't recall if it was Brian, Council, I'm not even trying to remember who it was, but they questioned the solicitor as to whether or not this type of plastic straw ban ordinance had been enacted in other communities. I think they identified that Barrington was the only one and they were interested to find out how it was working. However, it had just passed, apparently, in Barrington. It was very, very fresh, and there was no feedback. So I think they were a little concerned with that, and they kind of didn't want to be the first one to do it. They wanted it. They referenced tabling it for 6 months and bringing it back once they can get some background as to how it's working and how it's being received in other communities.
Has anyone expressed specific concerns as to what they think, like, unexpected ramifications of that be?
I would gather it would be adverse impacts to businesses, primarily.
Is this something that we can prod the process in 6 months?
Absolutely.
Like March or April?
I was going to suggest that...
Because I've got it in my calendar.
Yep. I was going to suggest that collectively, if the CONCOM can keep a finger on the pulse of what's going on out there and try to solicit feedback or try to gauge the success or the difficulties with the ordinance elsewhere by the time 6 months is up, which goes pretty quick, you may be prepared to make the case to help get them over their reluctance. Like I said, it wasn't a reluctance. It was just a reluctance at this time. It wasn't like they weren't in support of it. They just weren't sure they were ready to be number two.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then the reference was strictly within the state, whereas there may be examples outside of the state where they've successfully carried this out, which could also be something we pay attention to in 6 months to
Absolutely. Maybe
add to the complement of.
Right, and it was kind of, I wasn't prepared for it.
Yeah.
And it was something that kind of popped up during the meeting. But certainly, if you were proactive and developed real examples of what they did, how it was effective, how it was received, and pros and cons, it would do nothing but help.
Yeah.
I mean, because their decision was based on unknown.
No independent man might not care what other states are doing.
Well, that's the point. That at some point, you want to be the first one to do something. Then when someone raises the question, are we the first one? Oh, well, there's only one other. Okay.
Yeah, but I'm sure nationally there's other.
Yeah, I'm sure.
There's some statistics. Yeah.
California did it. But my memory is that...
Statewide?
Well, California enacted legislation, statewide legislation.
Yeah.
My memory is that although Barrington is the only town that has enacted an ordinance, it was a much more comprehensive, it didn't really just single out straws, it was this really comprehensive and more complex ordinance that dealt with a whole host of plastics.
Was that attached to the, because they were one of the first ones to do the bag.
Right, they did the bag. You know, it was separate and apart from the bag ordinance, so it stands alone. And so it addresses all kinds of things, like if you go into a supermarket and they offer you a plastic container to put in your salad or something like that, those sort of things. It's targeting all of those things. Straws is just one thing that's sort of tucked right in the middle of the ordinance. So,
do you know what they call the ordinance that we could look it up on?
I don't. We have it. I'm pretty sure I included it as part of
that
stuff.
Last summary
a couple months ago. I can find it easily enough.
Sure.
You don't have to go through your stuff. Okay. I'll send it to Jay, if Jay wouldn't mind just disseminating it. But
that might be helpful.
It doesn't look anything like our ordinance.
Yeah.
Or what we had proposed for an ordinance. Ours was patterned after what the state was proposed at the General Assembly. So nothing about, they don't get into that, you can give it out if someone asks for it. It's just as a ban.
Yeah.
Mm. Right.
I think that it's worth looking into whether or not we want to ratchet it up and make it something more like.
I'd like to see that again. I'm sorry I didn't keep it. Mm-hmm. I probably did. It's in with all the paperwork.
I was kind of joking about
it. I'm going to resend it to everybody right now.
Okay, thank you.
The plastic bag summary.
The
compilation.
The entire email that Chris had forwarded. Seriously. The bills, and at the bottom of the bills, there's a... there's a link to Barrington and Block Island. There's a PDF of the Barrington and Block Island.
Right.
Oh, Block Island also banned straws.
Block Island dealt with balloons.
Oh, balloons, okay.
They enacted an ordinance regarding prohibiting the release of balloons.
Was that a separate standalone?
That's a separate standalone ordinance, yes.
I'd be in favor of that for South Kingstown.
I think I'm not opposed to that either, but I think anything we can do that hits it from the root is so much more effective than trying to... I mean, you can pass an ordinance that says you're not allowed to release balloons, but it's virtually unenforceable if someone wants to, put a balloon up in the air. No one's going to catch them doing that. So I think just removing
like we did with the plastic bag ban. That's if trying to encourage people to do the right thing gets you somewhere, but people, it's really hard to convince people to care about something that they don't care about. And so if they just literally don't have the option to use the plastic bag or the plastic straw, or to be honest, the plastic bottle.
You know, I also wonder.
They figure it out. They do something else.
Yeah. And that would be obviously going right to the business that fills the balloon with helium. Now, I'm wondering if you could just make a helium ordinance. Seriously. I mean, if. Who's
now
gonna
you're
buy
a party pooper.
Well, we're all going to be party poopers. You know,
that's going
we're headed
far.
That way.
So the issue, though, that you have to consider, too, though, is that, so I understand that completely, but the town council just tabled a straw ordinance for 6 months because they don't want to be the first one to do it. And they want to take the temperature, right? And so we did the plastic bag ordinance, and at the time we were first considering it, we would have been the second community to do it.
Yeah, it was 2 years before.
By the time we did do it, we were the 13th or 14th community that did it. So, the point is, it will ultimately have to be reduced to an ordinance, and you'll have to convince the elected officials of this town to pass it. Which is when all the folks will come out to voice concerns about why it shouldn't be passed.
And they'll come in here with balloons.
They will. I can see the balloons.
I'm not going to die on the balloon hills, but definitely some of these things
are
worth fighting for. And I think you would see a strong showing of support from the community in favor of banning some of these things.
Mm. I cut right to the chase. The board, if you really wanted to be proactive about it, could ask the businesses in town, how would you feel? Would it have a negative impact? Would you be in support of it? And provide them with a survey letting them know that, you know, businesses are okay with it.
Yeah. So I do... I manage the wholesale accounts for bagels in Wakefield, and I was talking to the owner, actually, this guy Scott, about the plastic straw ban. I mean, that's just one voice, but he's someone who has plastic straws there for people to take. And, you know, to be honest, he doesn't care. People aren't going to not come buy a drink because there's not a straw. The people who really want to drink through a straw will
bring their own.
Bring their own.
Yeah.
But also, else will adapt. Now,
there are businesses that are already not providing straws. I'm sure you could ask for one, but I know, for instance, on Robinson Street, Auntie's Kitchen, they just don't have them to give you. But Bike Stop in Narragansett on Boone Street doesn't offer them, and I don't know if you could. You could probably ask, but businesses are starting to do that.
Yeah, and I think that's the benefit of having it be a townwide ordinance is, like, you know, you mentioned that it could be, what's the impact on businesses? Does it harm them? But if they're all subject to that rule, then there's, it's not, you don't have the option to say, well, now I'm going to Job Madness because they'll at least give me a straw. You know, if it's, I mean, okay, maybe they'll leave the town to get it, but probably not. I think the other thing to consider is that do people start getting more like sippy cup lids? You know, again, for free from the establishment, but okay, I would have just put a straw on it, but now I'm driving, so I need something. So now you put a much bigger, something that's made up of like five times as much plastic. Do we see an increase in these plastic sippy cup lids being used?
Another thing too is that when we're surveying, some of these places have very viscous liquids, like slushy things. And I don't know how people eat them. They probably use a straw. But
with Dell's, you're not supposed to use a straw.
Yeah.
The Dell's company tells you not to.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's the method. Because then otherwise you drink too much of the lemony stuff instead of the icy stuff. And so you're supposed to kind of like squeeze the paper cup a little bit.
Okay.
I think we should pass an ordinance about how.
So they've never provided straws for that.
I didn't know that.
The lemon chunks in the straw.
But when the issue of straws originally came up, there was this. It was out there in the It's a fairly well-publicized national thing, and Starbucks, I thought, had announced that it was developing a cup, just as you described. But it was going to eliminate the whole straw and it just develop a cup that had some kind of fabricated top.
Yeah. Which, but we have to consider what
but that it would probably be
right.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
The point is not to get rid of straws. The point is right. to reduce plastic.
Right.
And
right.
so how do we achieve that goal? And the straw thing is like a feather in our cap if we pass it, but could we do something bigger?
No, it would be more, actually, I think the more value that would be gotten out of it is not necessarily taking those individual straws out of the stream. It would be to, again, heighten awareness of how much plastic we're using every day. You know? Yeah. And I think doing the bag thing did that too, because all the discussion around it was, well, you know, it's just not having a bag, it's to alert how, like, the millions of bags that are used just in South Kingstown alone every year. It was crazy. And the kids, by the way, were they really sealed the deal with the town council, the presentation by the elementary school. That was really great. So,
but it was that and the fact that 85% of the businesses surveyed were not opposed
correct.
To making the change.
Yeah, that was exactly. a
that was
factor.
The real.
The survey was very important.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that was done in conjunction with the environmental, economic EDC, Development Committee. By the way, I didn't bust your chops on in your interview referring to us as the Conservation Committee. I said, oh, no.
Yes,
I said nothing.
It's going to be an ongoing challenge for me to say commission. For some reason, it's programmed on the other
way. Let's move.
Yeah, the same thing. The Planning Board, Bicycle Pedestrian Advisory Committee, Conservation
is the
Commission.
Sustainability
committee.
It's a committee.
Committee.
Okay.
Yeah, this, commission.
This is the only
this
commission.
Is a commission.
Okay.
I think it's the only commission.
Yeah. I don't know.
Traffic Commission? No. Not here.
T squared RC is, yeah, they dissolved that though.
Yeah.
Does commission imply advisory or like voting? Is that because
we're not the only advisory one, but so some of the other just simply advisory ones have different names.
I think it started where the state enabling legislation
that's right.
forming conservation commissions
that's right.
called us conservation commissions.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So it's based on state law.
Yeah, right.
One of the few boards and commissions that actually are enabled through mm-hmm. state law.
Moving on, update on the proposed amendment to the tree ordinance related to the designation of the deputy tree warden, Jay.
That is going forward on Tuesday to the council for order of notice. Although it was presented with the order of notice the meeting before last.
What does that mean? Order of notice.
Order of notice is the council takes official action to order the ordinance advertised for amendment.
Oh.
So in order to amend the ordinance, it needs to be publicized in the paper. It needs to be done so in a public hearing. That all requires notification.
And
they
so...
You can't do that without conducting an official order of notice.
And until that actually gets into the ordinance, we can't post a job, right? We don't have a deputy tree warden until that's all done.
Officially, yes. Mm-hmm. You can't designate a deputy tree warden until we've enabled it.
Yep.
Until we've adopted it. The intent is to have the arborist, the new position, the new town arborist, assume their role. I don't know where we stand with that position. It's been budgeted for, I believe it was being advertised or soon to be advertised or
there's a lot of tree work to do in town. It's just amazing. It's overwhelming. A lot of dead.
So we went one for two between the plastic straws
yep.
and tree wardens.
It's 500.
Keep it up.
Item number 7 is reiterative. It says new business, and we already did new business.
Oh, my apologies.
And we move to update from staff on planning department activities. Water polo, anything?
Chief, we're looking at the planning chief now.
No, we are still plugging
Acting.
We're still plugging away. we had a little bit of a, I won't call it a lull, but...
I said it out loud.
I know. Well, no, we did, but then we paid for it the other day. We had like four big applications get dropped off at the same time. So we've been plugging away. No other updates other than that. The planning director's job was posted. I think it closes on November 15th.
Are you applying?
Perhaps, maybe.
Okay.
I don't really know when they anticipate filling that. I'm sure it officially probably won't happen until after the new year, is my guess.
I'm just pulling up my calendar. Next meeting date and agenda items. The reason this is on as an agenda item is because initially we had, and actually for decades, we met on either the first or the second Wednesday of the month at 7 o'clock. And then our previous staff person said, well, you know, I'd really like to get out of here a little sooner. Can you guys meet at 6? We said, yeah, okay. And then due to other, you know, we were helping out, we moved it to Tuesdays. Well, I had a conflict on Tuesdays. It was a, I didn't know how temporary it was. And then it resolved, but I still have a conflict on the first Tuesday in December and in May. And I didn't want to have to miss a meeting because of our schedule. And when we changed the schedule to Tuesday, I asked at the time, I said, if my situation changes, can we move it back to Wednesday? He said, yep, sure, that's fine. In the meantime, Vern now has a commitment for Wednesdays. So we then agreed, okay, well, let's just look at December when we get to it and find a date that we all can do it. So that's where we're at right now. And some of it depends on not only our schedules, but also the availability of a room. We don't have to meet in here. We have met in the past in the conference room in there. It's smaller. The only time it's a real problem is when we have people coming before us to present their application. And if it's multiple people with an attorney and da-da-da and a landscape architect, it gets a little tight, but it can be done. And it's Jay, what dates do you see as possible for us to do it? It can be the first or the second week, I presume, right?
You can change it to your preference. The committee can.
Okay.
I mean, it doesn't have to be first or second, but I mean, generally, the closer you get to Christmas, the more difficult it
is. So talk about room availability. Where are we at for what days either of these two rooms can be used?
Monday the 2nd.
We could do that.
Wednesday the 4th. The conference room is available on Thursday the 5th. Or if you can be out of here by 7, if you go
guarantee it.
6 to 7 on Thursday.
Couldn't guarantee it.
Unless we started at 5:30.
Tier, the Wednesday the 11th is open. Thursday the 12th is open. Both rooms.
Okay. Because Wednesday is not an issue for me in the December time frame, so that works.
Oh.
Yeah.
So do you want to say Wednesday, what's it, the 3rd?
Fourth.
Anybody have a problem?
I can do that.
That works.
No. Is that good for you?
What I don't have scheduled on here is the Route 1 Stewardship Plan Committee.
Oh.
And that is tomorrow night. It's the day
That's
after.
Right.
CONCOM this month.
Yeah.
We have not met yet, so we haven't discussed, we haven't had a chance to discuss a second meeting or recurring meetings.
I see.
Maybe first come, first serve. You guys,
I was going to say, would we have priority if we make that date now?
Sure.
Okay. I'd like to do that.
Wednesday the 4th.
Vern's on that committee too.
Yeah.
So hopefully it doesn't conflict.
Right,
with
right, hopefully.
Okay, let's do that.
6 o'clock, right?
6 o'clock.
Yeah.
Wednesday the...
And what room would that be in?
Damn it.
The damn it room?
No, it can be in this room.
Okay.
I don't have permission to change that because I didn't.
Yeah, I noticed, Jay, I don't know if you want to update some of the things that... Some of the, like, the packet that I got, says three different times and days for CONCOM. Each one. Like
yeah.
One says
well,
7 o'clock on,
right.
On first Wednesday or something.
Yep, that was the way it's been for decades.
One of them says 6 o'clock on Tuesday. One of them says
that's the one they always send to the new person.
Jay, do you want to tell Anne and Mary that we're meeting on Wednesday the 4th at 6?
Yeah.
Great. Okay. Does anybody else have anything they want to discuss before we adjourn? If not, meeting is adjourned. It is 7:20.
You said 6 to 6.
Wednesday the 4th, 6 o'clock.
Mary says 6 to 8. Be safe.
Sure.
Happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
Yes.
Yeah,
people keep saying that.
It's coming up soon, isn't it?
I can't believe it.
No. Seems like it should still be summer.
I know. Still.
Where'd that go?
I know.
Thanks all.
Yes, thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Good luck with your new dog.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice
yeah.
Too.
Great to
good
we
luck
both
with
feel
you.
Feel that we're each the lucky like party.
You know. The ideal situation.
Yeah.
Standing path till the spring, right? From our last summer.
Yeah, I still have to. There's some